Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Sherry Denham, Dr. Jill Hubbard, and your phone calls at 1-800-229-3000. We think it's a great day for New Life.
Thank you. That's exactly what I needed for.
I went through her room. I found bottles of alcohol under her bed and in her closet.
I went in and loaded my pistol, and I sat down in the office, and I just started contemplating everything I've been through.
You know, the Bible does say honor your parents, and the New Testament tells us specifically a lot of ways to do that. But it doesn't say obey them. It says very specifically, for example, in Ephesians, children, obey your parents. Everybody's to honor your parents, but if you are an adult and you are obeying your parents, then you have not graduated yet.
You're not an adult.
You're not an adult yet. And the New Testament is oh so clear about that.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the program. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Sherry Denham, and Dr. Jill Hubbard will be joining us shortly. Hello, Sherry.
Hello.
Sherry is, of course, on the program on a regular basis. She's also the one that's going to be doing all the speaking at our Wives in the Battle seminar in September. And in a little while, we're going to tell you much, much more about that. But right now, you know, we've had Max Lucado on a couple of times, and we did a couple of interviews with him, or a few, from his book, Max on Life. And here he is answering another one of these very, very tough questions. Well, Max, you really take on some tough questions, and let me give you what I think maybe is the toughest question in the whole book. It says, what sexual items and activities are acceptable to God? Negligees, body oils, engaging in specific activities, using sensual language, and watching stimulating movies. What does God prohibit and permit? Wow.
Yeah, and you know, I think that's kind of a real question in the world in which we live. People get ideas and thoughts from movies and from television shows, and Christian couples want to know what's permissible and what's not. And obviously, some of these specific things are not addressed in Scripture, but the general concepts are, general thoughts like serving your spouse, pure thoughts, let no unclean word come out of your mouth. And so filter your decisions through those kind of questions. Is this act serving my spouse? Does it make him or her feel uncomfortable? Really, the marriage bed is the ultimate place for service. See the marriage bed not as a place to have what you want, but to engage in what is mutually upbuilding, which brings you closer to each other and closer to the Lord. And if you're encouraging your spouse to engage in behavior that takes them farther from God or creates a sense of shame, even if you think it doesn't, then don't do it. That's the bottom line there. If you're wanting your spouse, or you're wanting to use language that's not befitting of a person who's been saved by grace, then don't do it. Just don't do it. The sexual activity within a marriage is an outstanding opportunity for you to express a heart of service to your spouse, not to see the marriage bed as a place to be served. So use this as a way to draw closer to God. I've known of couples who have knelt beside their bed and said, God, may you take this bed and make it a place of holy service. And I've shared that, and I've seen the expression on people's faces, Steve, like, that's the craziest thing I've ever heard. And maybe that's why we have so many problems in marriage. If more of us did that, if more of us rendered our marriage bed as an altar of service, a place to secure our marriage and not to just pursue selfish desires, we might have more success in marriage and fewer problems in marriage.
Well, that's from Max's book, Max on Life. We love Max here. That's why we wanted to do some questions from the book. He takes on some pretty tough questions with some great, great answers. And you can get that in any bookstore, Amazon, you name it. It's everywhere. Max on Life. Really, really great questions. Everything from the bedroom to the playground to wherever. He's got it in there. All right, we're going to take a break and come back right after this. I want to remind you that 2 weeks from tomorrow is our marriage seminar, the New Life Weekend Marriage Seminar. If you haven't signed up, come and join us with Mylon Yurkovich and Kay, Dr. Dave Stoop and Jan. I'll be presenting. It's going to be one amazing weekend. Find out about it at 1-800-NEW-LIFE and newlife.com.
You think I'm a great person, full of life and fun to be around. You say you love me, but if you knew what was going on in my head, I don't think you'd love me anymore. I saw my first girly magazine when I was 7, and I was hooked. I look at porn every chance I get. I've tried to stop over and over again. Sometimes it works for a couple days, but then I fall right back into my old ways.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I want to stop. I need help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Sherry Denham and Dr. Jill Hubbard. Welcome.
Hello, everybody.
Hello.
I am with the women today.
Yeah.
Yes, so, you buckle are. Up, Steve. Yeah. Buckle up.
Well, everybody else ought to buckle up, too. If you want some really good female perspective advice, today is the day to give it. We rarely have the two of you
it's
in
true.
The
we
studio
were just
at the same
on
time
that.
Because it's just too dangerous. But today, we're
is that it?
We're doing it right here. Let's go over here and get a phone call from Chris in Costa Mesa, listening on KKLA. Hello there.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. What's going on with you today?
Okay. Well, this is my first time calling.
And okay.
I've been listening for a short time. I've listened in the past. Can I give a quick backstory to kind of tell you where I'm at right now?
If it's a quick backstory, you sure can.
Okay. I'm almost 40 years old. Never been married, no kids. When I was about 8 years old, I was indirectly exposed to pornography through my father, who was an alcoholic.
Okay.
Who actually committed suicide almost three years ago next month.
Oh, wow. Sorry about that.
I had several head injuries before I was at the age of 10, closed head injuries that have caused a lot of issues. Battled anxiety and depression pretty much my whole life. And about 6 weeks ago, I finally just took my savings and I said, I'm going to find out what's going on with me. So I went to the Amen Clinic and got my brain scans done.
How was that?
It was great. I mean, I got an answer. It pretty much confirmed everything that I already thought I had. And I was diagnosed with ADD back in 2001. And I kind of owned it for a little while, and then I got really frustrated with that kind of like a label of saying I have ADD, and then that made it worse. And so mm-hmm. I kind of put that aside for a while. And now here I am at almost 40, and I'm just tired of my life. I'm tired of the pornography addiction. It's something that has really, really created a chasm between God and I, because I want to get close to him, but yet I'm afraid, and not having a father who was ever there for me and all this other just kind of this whole mixed bag of stuff.
Yeah, sure.
And so I get the anxiety has been so bad in my life that the only way that I thought that would calm me down, I've never done street drugs, I've never had a real issue with alcohol, but it was the images that really were feeding into kind of calm down the anxiety.
Yeah,
and
right.
That became addiction. And now I'm finally owning that and saying, okay, I'm an addict. I have an addiction. I'm ashamed of it, but I'm trying to be as transparent as possible. But the problem is that when I go to church, I've gone to many churches over the years here in Southern California, Orange County area. And I'm at a good one right now, but the problem is that I find myself isolated a lot, and I'm very much a people person. But when people don't understand anxiety and depression, or they don't understand what you go through, you kind of have to go find it. You know, you just hide again.
Well, I got a question for you. Why haven't you ever gone to the Every Man's Battle workshop?
Money.
Well, you can get money. You can.
you got a brain scan, Chris?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that I finally came to the point in my life where I said, okay, I need this. This is something that I need to give myself more. What's the word? I don't even know what the word.
Take
is.
Responsibility.
Yeah,
and well,
I need
and
to
care
see
about
myself
yourself
as
more.
Valuable enough to get it mm-hmm. fixed, get something fixed about this.
But you didn't do anything to fix it. You just got a really good insight into the problem.
Absolutely. Now that's where I've got the answer. I spent a whole lot of money, and I'm glad I did it. But at the same time, that wiped out most of my savings, and now I'm back to where, okay, now what?
Okay, you've got to save your money, and you've got to get to an Everyman's Battle workshop. And in the meantime, you need to start going to some kind of group that have other men in it. There are Everyman's Battle groups all over this area. And if you want to get in one, you can. I spoke at one the other day in this area. So if you really want to do something, you can do it. But it's going to be uncomfortable. It's going to require some research on your part. But just getting the scan, it doesn't really get you anywhere other than more knowledge and confirmation that, yeah, you've got a problem.
Yeah, it's diagnostic. You know, I mean, it kind of confirmed what you already saw. But now we have a brain, right? You saw the pictures that needs some help. Oftentimes, I'm familiar with the SPECT imaging, and Chris, and I'm glad you were tired enough of what was going on to get help. And you've got more of a complex brain because you've got the ADD or the ADHD coupled with an internal hot brain, the limbic system and the basal ganglia, those, the anxiety and depression. And so it's not just one thing with you. And so you do need a good psychiatrist, which you have there, to kind of help dial in some of the medications that can help you. But what Steve is inviting you into is now the work, right? Because your brain needs to heal. And if we keep doing the same things, you know, looking at pornography, images of pornography and masturbating is like your own internal morphine drip. And it does change your brain chemistry. And so peeling that back, stopping the toxins, is going to cause a whole new internal disruption inside. Because guess what? Now I'm not numbing out. Now I actually have to feel and get in touch with the pain that brought me into the addiction in the first place. So getting to a Everyman's Battle workshop, getting into a support group with men that you can lock arms with, your brotherhood, get acceptance by, no judgment, and help you walk in accountability and freedom. I watch men's heads clear up all the time when they start to get away from the pornography. They start to think clear, and they get more connected to their heart and other men, which for many of them, they haven't had that in their experience. Go ahead.
And Chris, you did a great job of explaining everything that's going on with you. So you're at a great place to jump now into addressing each of these issues. And it's more than one thing, as you've just stated. So taking each thing that you mentioned and going to a place where they do understand, instead of expecting, well, everybody out there to understand, and when they don't, well, then I'm going to pull back. No, go to the places where they do understand so you can feel contained in all that you're feeling.
Okay, so Chris, what do you think? I mean, we've given you a lot of different directions here.
I totally agree with that. I have no problem doing that. I've done Celebrate Recovery back about 5-6 years ago, and it worked for a while, but the thing was that when you have men that are talking about very detailed graphic stuff, it can be stumbling, and it's hard to listen to and actually kind of set you off. And so my thing is, okay,
so
I got
you
the diagnosis.
Talk about that with them.
What's that?
You talk about that with them.
Yeah, you say out loud when somebody describes something, go, whoa, that just triggered all sorts of stuff in me. And by talking out loud, saying it out loud and talking about it, little bit of the power goes away. And because you're being open and honest and authentic, rather than hiding the fact that you're so fragile that a guy describing what tripped him up trips you up. And, you know, there's some, in Everyman's Battle, the book, there are some details in there. And when people say, man, I didn't like that book, it's got too many details in there, that would be the number one indicator that a person needs that book. If reading a book and describing another guy's problem is going to set you off. And so you really do need that Celebrate Recovery group or a Life Recovery group that can help you. Or to go to Sex Addicts Anonymous. Have you thought about that?
I have, but that, again, that's the same kind of environment where it's just, it seems
so. Chris?
So the thing is, I'm very transparent. I'm very open. I have no problem sharing with other guys. In fact, I think I probably feel and share more than most men. It's just the fact that when I'm in those environments, it can be stumbling.
Well, let me ask you this. Have you participated in pornography since you went to a Celebrate Recovery meeting or a Sex Addicts Anonymous meeting?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So you're going to stumble anyway. So don't use that as an excuse. You're stumbling right now. So don't say, well, I'm not going to go to this healthy place because it might make me stumble. Well, it might not make you stumble, or you might stumble a couple of times, and then the third time, somebody says, well, let me tell you why you're not going to stumble, because I'm going to go home with you, and I'm going to stay there till you get to sleep, or I'm going to sleep on the couch. You know, all sorts of things might happen that could be good for you. But I just don't think that's a valid excuse to say I can't go to a meeting where people are trying to get well because I'm stumbling after I go to that meeting, when you're stumbling anyway.
Well, and part of that may be, Chris, you know, you shared you had the spec done and the ADD. The ADD impacts our prefrontal cortex. It's the boss of our brain. It's the part of our brain that helps with impulse control, planning, forethought, making good choices. So it sounds to me like you're going, man, I'm going to hear this stuff and then go act out on it. I say, go get the ADD medication to help bring more blood to your brain so that you have more breaks. You need more breaks in that part of your brain to help you feel not so vulnerable with the impulse.
Well, you know what? The doctor actually gave me, she's very conservative when it came to medication, so she gave me supplements. And I've been on supplements for about 6 weeks now, and they actually significantly helped.
Mm-hmm.
But I even told her at my follow-up meeting after the scans, I said, hey, I think I need something stronger than this because I don't know how long this is going to be. It's very expensive to get all these supplements.
And I get it. So you're all...
I don't have to be on drugs the rest of my life.
Yeah.
That's the thing is that I know that the impulses when I'm feeling that, you know, that anxiety when it builds up, when I can't handle it anymore, it's very, very much lessened for me, and that's great. But then I feel like, okay, if I miss a day or whatever, I know what I need to do, but that's where I feel stuck. I don't know. It's the application part of what knowing
yes,
what I know,
yeah, yes.
And how to do it.
Well,
and Chris,
you don't need to know anymore.
There's nothing more immediate than an addiction.
Yeah.
And so it is disappointing when you don't get that immediate relief and you have to sit in it. And that is part of the process of getting better.
Yeah.
And you absolutely think that this is treatable? I mean, that I can get away from this and have a healthy life for my future?
100%.
Oh,
100%.
Yep.
If you compared what you've been involved with to some other men that are just unbelievably excited about their life, you'd be a rookie. Because people get into some really, really sick stuff that hooks them beyond anything you can imagine, stronger than cocaine, and they come out of it. We see it all the time. So, but the thing is, your brain is the thing that's in trouble, and your brain is doing some really nice work on you to keep you from getting well.
So for you, Chris, you may need both. You may need right now a psychotropic meds or combination thereof. I go get it, brother.
Right.
Just go
mm-hmm.
get what you need
yeah.
and then walk into the healing part. Walk into the application.
Right.
Have both of those things firing, and you're going to have the best chance of success.
Yeah.
Right?
I am glad you called, and I'm going to send you Every Man's Battle in case you don't have it. And I'm really hoping that you're going to follow up, and no excuses whatsoever. Man, we can just excuse our way to death.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Steve from Pico Rivera, California, listens on KKLA. Hello, Steve.
How you doing today, doctors?
Good. What's going on in your life today?
The question that I have for you is, I teach the Bible at a lockdown medical facility.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just, other than discernment... Is there a way to determine, say, being demon-possessed to a mental issue?
Okay, and so you think a lot of people in lockdown are possessed by demons? Or is it
something you've seen one time or what? No, I just, I'm just started doing this maybe about, about a year now.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed that there is times that when I am praying... that a person would come beside me and try to disrupt the prayer by cussing or mm-hmm. or yelling. And I open my eyes to see who the person is, so I try to go up to them and talk to them later, and they kind of push me away with anger.
Well, here's a couple of things for you to think about. We'll take a break, and then we'll hear from Jill and Sherry. But you can have evil without having demon possession. So you can have an evil influence without demon possession. Then demon possession definitely exists, but it's very rare. Second thing is, demons don't respond to medication.
Okay.
Because they're demons. We don't change the chemistry of the demon. So a person who would be demon possessed, you could put all the medication in that you wanted, and it wouldn't matter. The demon wouldn't respond. But we'll talk more about this. It's an interesting question, and I'm glad that you've called. You're listening to New Life Live with Dr. Jill Hubbard, Dr. Sherry Denham, Steve Arterburn here. We'll take this break and come right back.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
All right, we're back, and we're talking with Steve, who works on a lockdown unit in psych ward, and wondering about how do you tell if it's demon possession or mental illness. Jill, Sherry, what are you thinking?
Well, you know, I as a therapist that works a lot in this world, I'm actually getting some more training for myself right now, kind of looking at spiritual strongholds, because I do see that the enemy plays into our weaknesses. The enemy is really looking to latch on to anything.
You bet.
Any brokenness in our life, whether it's in our mental health, whether it's in our past, anything that he can latch on to. So I think that what you're seeing, Steve, may be influences of not having the right medication, but it may also be demons and strongholds. And I mean, that's my personal belief. I think they can get an edge in. So really the name of Jesus, right? Jesus, when Absolutely. The name of Jesus is mentioned, demons shudder. We have so much strength and Christ's presence in our lives that we don't have to live in fear. Especially as a believer, a demon cannot possess us. So you probably have a mix of all kinds of people in the lockdown, right? You don't know whether they're believers or non-believers, right?
Well, of quite a bit of them have accepted Christ, but there is that few that just seem to, like as you said, to the name Jesus, they seem to react negative to it. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I don't want to jump the gun and say like, oh, well, they're demon possessed. I mean, I'm just because I heard your show, and so I thought I'd give a call and see if I can get some knowledge and just learn exactly. And there's like a book that you could recommend. I hear you're talking about that you're reading the book now.
Neil Anderson's Bondage Breaker, you know, Charles Kraft. I mean, those are guys that are on the front edge of that. So those would be a couple authors that I would kind of lead you towards. But Christ never walked into it with fear. He knows where his power comes from in the Lord. And you can stand in power and strength. If there's opposition when you mention the name, or you're praying and somebody starts, you know, going off on you, pray over them. Just stand strong. Know that it's a battle that has already been won, right? Christ has already won that. Mm-hmm. And don't allow that enemy, it's like secondhand smoke, don't allow that the enemy to cause fear in you, right?
And having worked on a psych unit, it's important that you not let your approach be determined by that person's reaction to your approach. If you're praying for them and they reject you, you continue to pray for them. You continue to be positive about them versus get your feelings hurt and leave and slam the door, whatever, like that. Jill, your thoughts?
And Steve, I was thinking you said that this is new to you, that you have worked on the unit for about a year?
Yes,
correct?
Well, I used to go to Skid Row, L.A., and I dealt with some of the people out in Skid Row in L.A. And what I was saying is that I've been teaching at this facility now for about almost a year.
Okay.
And it's not the individual that I'm praying for that reacts like that.
It's people around
another
you.
Person that will come alongside and start to do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, and so I was thinking of kind of a similar thing about your own level of fear and safety. And if God has called you to this, then, you know... asking for his protection in that and realizing that these people aren't going to, as Steve was saying, respond in the way that we're used to, having people respond to us. And so it's not really a logical process. It's mental illness, and that's why they're institutionalized. So it's probably the most severe of society.
I'm not fearing them whatsoever. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh, sure.
I mean, I'm not fearing them whatsoever. Mm-hmm. I'm just wondering, is other than discernment, is there, I know Dr. Otterburn mentioned that the medicine won't affect the demon, it'll just affect the individual. So, I mean, that's what I was just trying to learn because, I mean, I get along great with them. I really love these people. The Lord has put them on my heart,
mm-hmm.
made some really good friends with them. And just wanting to get into it deeper, you know, where I'm going to pray and lay hands on them. And I'm hoping God will perform miracles. And, and just transform their minds, because I believe he can do anything, you know, and I'm not limiting God, but I do live in reality, and I do know that God uses medication also.
Yeah, yes, absolutely.
And the other thing is, the unit that you're on, the people are controlled by something other than common sense and conscious thinking. They're under the influence of something. You know, their brain chemistry's messed up, or they're on chemicals. And, of course, demon possession controls a person outside of themselves. So you've got something that is consistent there, no matter what the source, and that is that something else is controlling the thinking and the impulses and the actions of these folks. And that's what I would be praying for. Lord, help this person
mm-hmm.
to regain some insight and some control and the ability to make good decisions again.
Okay, awesome. Thank you so much.
Okay.
I appreciate that.
Thanks for being a warrior on the front line.
Really?
Man.
That's a hard call.
All right.
Thank you so much.
God bless
you. Have a nice day.
Keep up the great work. Hold on. I'm going to send you a Life Recovery Bible if we can get your address there. And we send a Life Recovery Bible to people who give us a gift of $50 or more. We just send that Life Recovery Bible out there. If you'd rather have the Every Man's Bible for men, it's pretty amazing. But we want you to have a Bible as our way of saying thank you for a gift of $50 or more. We're going to take a break and come back for more of New Life Live. Our website is newlife.com. Now, that's pretty easy to remember. newlife.com, and there you can find out about a counselor, 900 plus counselors around this country that could help you, or the marriage weekend coming up, the transformation New Life weekend, or wives in the battle that Dr. Sherry Denham's going to do. newlife.com, that's where you go to find it all.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places. And New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
My clothes are falling off of me. People are making comments. I would pick up my food, and I was running every day, 6 miles a day. And I got to the point where I was afraid to drink water because I didn't want to gain water weight.
10 million women and girls have eating disorders. Anorexia or bulimia isn't a diet, it's a disease.
My parents knew then that something had to be done immediately.
New Life's Eating Disorders Treatment Clinic can help.
You see that everybody that works there loves God and is wanting to help you.
For more information about our Eating Disorder Treatment Clinic, call New Life today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Find hope for your child to begin healing and embrace life. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I decided that I wanted to work with eating disorders and help save people's lives on a daily basis.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I know that with God and Renuda that my life was spared.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Jill Hubbard, Dr. Sherry Denham, and I want to play for you a little video clip that I did when we were over in Israel. You know, we're going June the 6th through the 16th, and it is not too late. Dr. Sherry Denham is going to be there, Milan Yurkovich, I'll be there, Dr. John Townsend. It's going to be amazing. We've got over 100 people signed up, I think about 120 already, and it's going to
wow,
be a great,
group.
Great, great
It'll be fun,
group.
You guys.
But let me play this clip here. It's the one that we recorded there in the Garden of Gethsemane. It just means a lot to me to have stood underneath and by the olive trees that Jesus stood underneath or stood by 2,000 years old. Here we are. This has been an amazing day. We're the guests of the Ministry of Tourism here in Israel. We were on the Mount of Olives. We were in the Garden of Gethsemane. It was amazing, all the people walking around the garden. And there were four people. I'm traveling with Larry and Joe Sonnenberg and Joe Franklin. There were four people that were allowed inside that garden where the olive trees, 2,000 years old, they were there when Jesus was there in the Garden of Gethsemane. We went through these markets that were amazing. We saw the tomb where Jesus was buried. We saw the hill where he was crucified. We saw where they prepared his body. We are so grateful to be here. Already, this has been one amazing trip. And I hope that you'll come and experience the same new life we're experiencing for our trip in June 2011. All right, 1-800-NEW-LIFE to find out about it, or you go to the website, newlife.com. Samantha's been holding a while. Decatur, Georgia is where she's from. She listens to WNIV. Hi there, Samantha.
Hi, yay!
Yay! And thanks for holding on there, and how can we help you today?
I've called about my mom once before. She is getting accounts in my name, and I just pulled up my credit report and have something on there from her. And this is like the second or third time that she's done this. And I just don't know what to do.
What
I
does mean, she say to you? What does she
say when
you talk
to her? I haven't called her and told her yet. The first time it happened, you know, I told her she was going to have to pay it, and she did. And she called me up one other time last year. I had a freeze on my credit, and she called me up and confessed that she tried to get the same service in my name. But, you know, she kind of got caught and received a letter that was to me saying, hey, there's this freeze on this account, and this tried to happen in your name. So I think that she may have confessed only because of the possibility of her getting caught. But
right. Have you asked her, Mother, what do I have to do to keep you from ever doing this again?
No, I haven't. And, you know, I will. I just haven't known what to do to this point. And we have a bit of history. I understand my mom, and I was telling the lady that put me on hold for your show, I'm really having to get past the guilt of, well, I understand why she's doing the things she's doing, blah, blah, blah.
Okay, well,
but
help
Samantha,
me.
Help us understand.
Yeah, help,
because
exactly.
That's pretty bold.
Yeah, help us understand and why she's doing what she's doing.
Illegal. It's fraud.
Right.
Well,
can you help
you
us
know,
understand it?
Well, what she says to me is, you know, my mom didn't have her parents, and there's like a whole, she's the oldest of eight children. There's like a whole history of things with, you know, her siblings and everything, and I just try to keep myself separate. But, you know, she's like, I don't have anybody. You know, she's living in a part of the country where
Mother,
work is really hard. And
Mother,
I'm like, Mom, if you're unhappy, you can change
no,
that.
No, 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 that's not what you say. That's not what you say. Mother, there are a lot of people that don't have anyone, but they don't commit fraud against their own family members. Talk about a way to really, really not have anyone is to continue to commit fraud against me.
Yeah.
Well, because
exactly.
If you do, I mean, this it sounds like you may have to up the ante some with her. And, I know this is probably like, are you kidding me? But it's like for your mom to know, I am going to file a charge against you.
Yeah, that was already in my mind. And I've called her and left her a message. And I'm like, I need to call her and talk with her about this. But
it has to hurt with her to stop because she's not stopping.
Mm-hmm. Well, the worst thing you could do is allow her to continue to do it with no consequences, because that's just letting her be as bad as she can possibly be, you know.
Yeah.
So
or minimize it.
Yeah, right.
Because just because she doesn't have anyone, it's kind of like, so you don't get to have anything of your own, or suddenly you're the parent and she's
and
the
I've,
kid?
I've been feeling all of those things. And again, you know, I'm seeing one of your counselors. I was referred to somebody in your group.
Good.
And just getting healthier with regard to my mom, because I have a lot of guilt issues where she's concerned, and it's probably just a lot of misplaced guilt. I'm carrying things where she's concerned where I shouldn't be.
I want to ask you one more thing.
Okay.
All right. Now, you said, I kind of understand why she's doing this.
Yeah.
And my response to that would be, I don't think so. Okay. I think a lot of people are where she was, and they don't commit fraud. Now, just go a little deeper. Can you think of any other reason?
I guess I'm making excuses for her and
why would she be doing
sorry
this?
Sorry for her, and because I know the background she's come from.
Uh-huh.
But still,
she's got to be pretty sick and sociopathic almost to be able to commit fraud against a child that she loves.
It almost sounds like it's coming from an entitled place
in
her.
Yeah.
Like I heard this entitlement, almost like a teenager would be entitled.
Yeah.
And if you take that on and let her be entitled within you're teaching her bad behavior. She needs to know that her behavior is going to cut you off from her. I mean, you're going to file. You're going to do something that she's kind of moving your hand towards that.
Yeah.
So
well, and
know.
I think Samantha, I think. You know, she induces guilt in you, and you feel sorry for her instead of being able to step up. So when you do say no to her, just be prepared, because she's going to pull out all the stops to get you to either feel bad or guilty or sorry for her.
She's
okay?
really good at that.
She's
well,
really good at
that.
Well,
maybe that's why mom keeps coming back and doing the same thing, because I can get empathy from you. I can have you accept me
your
and
daughter
love me.
For help.
Even
you know?
Though I've been so bad to you, you'll still love me and forgive me. And so let me just open up another credit card and, you know, you're going to love me anyway, right?
Yeah.
It's just...
Yep. All right. I hope that's helpful. I'm going to send you Healing is a Choice, and I hope that will help you heal. And I'll also send you Jill's book, The Secrets Women Keep. Your mom's not keeping much of a secret.
No.
I mean, you've really
got to
be
found out.
You got to be a bold woman there to be stealing against your daughter. Let's go to Celeste. She's calling from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, WORD. Hello, Celeste.
Hello there.
Hi.
Thank you for taking my call. Been listening for a while, and I need your help.
Well, thank you for needing our help, and thank you for letting us help you.
Oh, thanks. Hey, I have a question. I've been a Christian for 10 years. In my first marriage, it ended due to, like, a lot of things, abuse and infidelity. I have two kids. When I remarried, I thought I was doing everything right. And I want to please God.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know how to do it right now. I guess I'm looking to aim myself to be successful now in the face now of a failing second marriage.
Mm.
Are you divorced or are you about to be divorced?
Well, and the thing is, I'm initiating this. I think I married a serial marriage killer.
Serial marriage killer. Okay, how many times was he married before you?
Well, once, but I'm hearing the exact same stories coming out of my mouth that he used to say, well, my first wife used to say this and that. And now I'm seeing the same things.
But wouldn't,
so now you know why she said those things.
I know why. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I didn't want... We've been married for 3.5 years, and 3 months of it were very, very good. And then it shifted almost like Jekyll and Hyde.
3 months in your courtship or 3 months in the marriage?
3 months in the marriage.
So the first 3 months were really good. Like he wooed really you, won you, and then all of a sudden when it came down to the business of having to be intimate, emotionally, relationally, he turned it off and went the other direction, Jekyll and Hyde.
And
yes,
you had 3 good months.
Wonderful.
So what that means to me is that there is a man there that if you guys could repair this, whether it's his avoidance of intimacy,
yeah,
fear
that's
of intimacy, inability to be intimate, if you could repair it, you could have 3 years like that first 3 months. And my big fear for you is that you will get out of this marriage and you're going to discover yourself, you will upgrade a little bit on the next one, but it will be kind of the same.
You'll
thing.
End up being the serial marriage
yeah.
killer.
Yeah. But I think if we were to look at all the things you've done to try to repair this, there would be many, many more things that you could do effectively. For instance, do you know what his childhood was like that would lead him to be the way he is today?
I think he's reliving what his dad did to his family.
What did his dad do?
Sort of a narcissistic, a ruler of the house.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone had to listen to him.
Yeah.
And I believe he has multiple personality disorders, like oppositional defiance, narcissism, borderline, and just emotionally abusive.
Yeah.
His dad or your husband?
My husband. His dad was also.
Yeah. Okay, well, we'll try to give you some help right after this. You're listening to New Life Live, newlife.com. That's the place to go.
Experience New Life in the Holy Land June 6th through the 16th. Join Steve Arterburn, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Sherry Denham, and Mylon Yurkovich of New Life Live for a daily time of teaching. You'll have the experience of a lifetime visiting the places where the events of Scripture really happened. Jerusalem, the Sea of Galilee, the Mount of Olives, Masada, and much more. Not only will you see the sites that bring history and Scripture to life, but Stephen Curtis Chapman will perform a once-in-a-lifetime private concert. If there was ever a trip you don't want to miss, this is it. Experience New Life in the Holy Land June 6th through the 16th. Call and sign up today at 1-800-223-3855. Or for more information, visit newlife.com. Visit Israel. You will never be the same.
Hi, everybody. Max Locato here. You know, I've been a pastor for over 25 years, and in the process, I've been fortunate to cross paths a few times with Steve Arterburn and his team at New Life. And I can tell you for a fact that these are good people doing real ministry work where the rubber meets the road. One of the ways they help people is through their New Life Weekend. The Apostle Paul writes about finding the transformation that comes from the renewing of your mind. That's what these folks at New Life specialize in. Whether you struggle with anger, unforgiveness, depression, grief, boundaries issues, maybe you've never worked through the pain of a past abortion, maybe you need a marriage tune-up, maybe your marriage is in crisis, listen, these good people can help you. Call them today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 and ask, about the New Life Weekend.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're talking to Celeste. I'm trying to convince her to repair rather than leave in despair. Sherry, you want to finish up with her and help her?
Well, you know, Celeste, we were just talking on the break here, and I asked Steve if we could send you the book, How We Love.
Yeah, let's do that.
Because mm-hmm. I think you are attracted to avoidant men, and you're frustrated. And so there's a part of you, when you said he may have narcissism, MPD, kind of a serial a marriage killer, you know, that's kind of, you're kind of making him all bad. And maybe he really is a really tough man to be married to. We mm-hmm. don't know that. But in the book, How We Love, it kind of takes a look at what your attachment role is and what his attachment role is. And I want you to begin to look at your side because you're a people picker, right? Picked another avoidant, and that makes you really downcast and disheartened. But I want to point you towards doing the work to not only heal your heart, but heal your marriage. And I think there's a lot for you in that book. So Okay. Do your own work.
We'll send it to you. We're just saying there's a lot of stuff that you can do beyond just leaving. And I hope that you will. I want to talk to you, Dr. Sherry Denham, about this new thing that we're doing. It is the Wives in the Battle Conference, and you're going to be teaching it. It's a New Life Weekend. Now, tell me just a couple of the topics that you're going to be addressing there with the women who come and hear Wives in the Battle.
Yeah, well, one of the things that I've found with women who are living with husbands who struggle with sex addiction is that they have lost their voice. Mm. They have become really passive and complacent. Many of us have grown up in families where we have learned passive rules of life, meaning don't speak your truth, don't share your heart, don't bring your pain, protect the one that hurts you, don't share your secret. And so what that does is it keeps the wives small and living beat up rather than walking in strength.
Mm. Boy, just to find your voice.
Find your voice.
Now tell me some other area that you're going to deal with.
Well, one of the things I think is really important is helping to create a safe place for the women to have their wounds bound, right? Yeah. We want to help bind their wounds.
Right.
Who better else than women who have also felt the pain of sex addiction? But then we want to not stop there. We want to help them learn how to fight the battle well. And so it's really important that they learn what to do with their emotions that are raging inside, such as anger, bitterness, guilt, because those things, with the betrayal, those things can take us down as well. So we want to learn how to move through those really painful emotions.
Now, you say sex addiction. Does my husband have to be a sex addict before I come, or could he just have a little problem with pornography?
I would say if he has a problem with pornography, come, right? If there's been any issues of sexual integrity, because there's a whole range when it comes to sex addiction or sexual integrity. It starts many times with pornography. It can move into prostitutes. It can move into infidelity.
Sure.
It's the whole gamut. And so oftentimes as women, we shrink away from that rather than calling it out, bringing our pain, saying this isn't okay, and then learning how to walk through and get the help and resources we need.
Now, in addition to you, there's going to be a panel of women. What's going to happen with that panel? What are they going to do?
Yeah, the panel are wives who, like the folks that are coming, like the women that are coming, have battled, and their husbands have battled. And they are actually walking in sexual integrity.
Okay.
It's wives that have actually gone through the fire and are still in the battle and walking in integrity with their husbands.
Now, did you get interested in this because you read about it in a textbook and you studied up on being in a marriage where somebody's unfaithful?
No. I had a front row seat to it. I am a wife, was a wife of a sex addict.
Mm.
And so I unfortunately, the marriage was lost. But my life was not. God has invited me into fighting for other couples and marriages, and that's where, you know, I am a warrior on that behalf.
You're a good fighter.
Mm-hmm. I am. Well, you have to help women find their voice. But what I'm doing is I'm going to share, bring my heart, bring the pain. It's the toughest battle I've ever fought. And in fighting and helping empower women on how to walk with integrity and to walk according to the standards that God is calling us to, right? God is at the helm.
Yeah.
And I think women often forget that. When all this goes on, we become hurt and depressed and think, where is God in all of this? But he's at the helm, and he's battling for your husband's hearts as well. So I want to help women rise up.
All right. Now, if I'm a woman and my reaction was I went out and had an affair, is this, you know, is my shame going to keep me out of there? Or is this a place for me? Can you help me? Or am I just going to go feel bad about myself in the midst of other women?
I say, come. There is no judgment.
Yeah.
At the Wives of the Battle Weekend, there will be no judgment.
Guilt-free zone.
Guilt-free zone. We are there for you to bring whatever. Bring your pain. Okay. We want to hear you. There is a place for you to start your healing.
All right. That is the Wives in the Battle Workshop. It's a New Life Weekend. Dr. Sherry Denham will be the main speaker. There'll be a panel of other women and a lot of other things that will go there. We fly in therapists from all over the country, Christian counselors, to help. It'll be a time of connection with many, many other women. God bless you for even thinking about coming, but do the courageous thing and pick up the phone and say, I'm going to come. I'm going to find a way to do it. It's Wives in the Battle with Dr. Sherry Denham. And you can find out about it at newlife.com or 1-800-NEW-LIFE. As we close out the program, I want to be sure that you know we have Club New Life, which has, I don't know, over 4,000 people in it. And they support this ministry monthly, and we depend on that support. We're looking for 20 people in every location where we air this program to form a little unit of Club New Life, a chapter of Club New Life, and maybe you could be one of those 20. If so, please call us and say, hey, I would like to be a regular giver through Club New Life. When the economy went down, the one thing that stayed solid was Club New Life, and we just are so grateful. You can't give too little or too much to this ministry. We really do need your help, and I hope and pray that if God is leading you, you will respond. Also, if you support us, we'll send you a copy of The God of Second Chances. It's my book, talks about the early stories of my life and how I ended up doing this, and I hope it'll be an inspiration to you and provide a source of healing for you. I want to close with a scripture here. It's over in John 15, the 9th verse. It says, I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Live within my love. When you obey my Father and live in his love, that's where you can truly become part of what God wants out of your life. But it requires obedience and the acknowledgement of God's love. It all boils down to you have to at some point in your life say, okay, I'm going to comply here. I'm going to obey. And you will discover that it cuts out nothing of your life except the crummy stuff. And it leads you into becoming that fruitful person who gets to experience the joy of watching people change as a result of the life that you're living. That's what we want you to do. That's what we want to see in you. If we can help you in any way, please call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or our website, newlife.com. I know there's a resource or a counselor or there's an event that would specifically address your problem. Thank you, Dr. Jill Hubbard. Thank you, Dr. Sherry Denham. Thanks to all of you who join us each day, especially those that support us. We really appreciate the help that you give us, and we're praying for you. We pray for you every week right here and during our devotional time, and we'll do it tomorrow. God bless you. We'll see you next time here on New Life Live. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by getting you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.